Expedia and Visit Scotland invite you to come experience the beauty that awaits in Scotland. The sweep of wild coastlines, quiet lochs and untamed landscapes. Fresh cuisine that feels rooted in the land. Come experience the kind of stillness that stays with you long after you leave. Plan your Scottish escape today at expedia.com/visitscotland.
Ready to soundtrack your summer? With Red Bull Summer All Day Play, you choose a playlist that fits your summer vibe the best. Are you a festival fanatic, a deep end DJ, a road dog, or a trail mixer? Just add a song to your chosen playlist and put your summer on track. Red Bull Summer All Day Play. Red Bull gives you wings. Visit redbull.com/brightsummerahead to learn more. See you this summer.
Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Montreal-based guitarist and composer Mike Bruzatzi. We talk about his new 2026 album, Another Space, and his career in the world of jazz. On his second album, it stands as a deeply collaborative and expressive project capturing the spirit of imagination, connection, and shared artistry that shaped its creation. It features an exceptional ensemble: Ben Solomon on tenor saxophone, Mike DeMassey on bass, Adam Aruda on drums, and a special appearance by vocalist Laura Anglade on Billy Strayhorn's Lush Life. A Montrealer born and raised, he was surrounded by music at an early age and began playing guitar at the age of 12. An interest and passion for jazz guitar emerged at the age of 17, and it was all set into motion from there. Enjoy this journey and interview.
It's great to meet you. I'm looking forward to getting into the brand new album, Another Space, and your career in the music, so thank you.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. So let's begin our journey into your good work by asking you this. 6 years ago, this pandemic was changing the world, changing our lives, especially for musicians. How did you get through that era, and how has it changed the way that you approach life today?
That's a good question. Well, I got through it by finding different ways to stay inspired, because there were no gigs, you know, and when you don't have stuff to practice for, it can be less inspiring. But I remember during that time listening to a lot of records, because you're just sitting at home. You know, I remember chatting with friends. We couldn't meet up in person, but talk on the phone, you know, watch movies, just basically art, you know, music and art and just anything to keep you going, kind of. And, you know, funny thing is, during that time is that I had I was in the process of booking a tour with Ben Solomon. We had a bunch of dates lined up in 2019 that got wiped out by that pandemic, but here he is on the latest album, so it just took a little longer, but we got through it.
So talk to me about the new album. What was kind of the vision, the approach, and just kind of how does it feel on a visceral level?
Well, I called it Another Space because I had been playing with a piano in the group for so long, you know, for many, many years. I would always play with a pianist, which puts the guitar in a different function. But even at first, I thought with this album, with the addition of the tenor saxophone, I thought I'd put a piano in there too and make it a quintet, but I decided not to for various reasons. And what it basically did was allowed me to use the guitar in a different way as a harmonic instrument as well, you know, playing chords. And that created something unique, you know, because it forced me to play a different way and continue to develop and grow and push myself. So the music, you know, I associate Ben Solomon's tenor saxophone playing with piano. You know, he usually plays with great pianists, and but this it created another space. That's why I called the record that, and I think it worked out really nicely with Mike DeMassey on bass and Adam Aruda kind of as a driving force of the rhythm section. It came out really cool, I think.
I agree. So at the end of the day, what are you hoping the listener gets from this album?
Just a sense of any kind of inspiration. You know, I hope it makes the listener feel inspired, because that's how we felt. That's how I felt making this album, you know, with these tremendous musicians. Just a feeling of inspiration.
So take me back to your beginnings. How did music begin? How did jazz evolve? How did this career become what it is today?
Well, as a child, I grew up and my dad was always listening to records on his sound system. So he would listen to a lot of jazz music, a lot of classical music, rock music, just good music. So I remember as a kid, even though I didn't know what it was, I was listening to Miles and Coltrane and all these people, and it just kind of, I loved music. And then a friend of mine had been playing guitar, so I wanted to play guitar. I ended up getting a guitar for Christmas when I was 12. Played rock music, you know, throughout high school. And then I rediscovered jazz when I was around 15 or 16, and I really liked it because I had remembered those sounds from my childhood. So I decided to study jazz, and I wanted to become a jazz musician, and I fell in love with it. After, you know, doing my undergrad and master's at McGill, I started leading bands and, you know, kind of got it going for myself and started composing, writing my own music, and just, I've been growing and developing my playing ever since.
So do you remember what your first jazz or any music show you saw in person that inspired you, that motivated you, that made you think, I want to do that one day?
Yeah, I do. The first one, first jazz type thing I ever saw was actually John McLaughlin, I think, when I was 16. Me and my dad took a road trip to Toronto, and at the time he was my favorite guitarist. So getting to hear him live was awesome and definitely inspiring. That same year, I also saw Chick Corea in Montreal. He was playing duo with Gary Burton, and that was really inspiring. And that kind of took off from there. Then I was addicted, and I tried to see as many of the greats and still do as I possibly can.
So I'm curious, was it always going to be music for you? Was your career always going to be this, or did you have any other aspirations?
I never really had any aspirations other than music. I mean, I thought about a couple of other things, but never too seriously. I ever since, you know, I was 15 or 16, I wanted to study music and see if I could do it.
So when you have this idea that you're going to be a musician, this is going to be your career, you have these dreams and this kind of ideological notion of what it's going to be like, and then you actually live your life as that musician, what's been the difference between the dream and actually living this life that you envisioned?
Well, I realized that you have to, especially as a leader, if you're leading bands and stuff, you really have to do things yourself and make things happen, because if you don't make things happen, most of the time things won't happen for you. I mean, sometimes opportunities will come, but most of the great opportunities I've had were made from.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You know those friends who support your preference for podcasts over music on road trips? That's the energy State Farm brings to insurance. With over 19,000 local agents, they help you find the coverage that fits your needs, so you can spend less time worrying about insurance and more time enjoying the ride. Download the State Farm app or go online at statefarm.com. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Me really putting effort and trying to get them. So that's kind of what I learned, is that you can't be afraid to try to make stuff happen.
So what is it that you look forward to the most when you wake up every day, being a musician, evolving and growing and loving this art form we call jazz. What is that for you every day?
For me, I love the feeling of being inspired, because Joe Lovano said when you're inspired, you are inspiring. And I think that's true. It's like, it's a thing that's hard to explain, but you know, I'll put on a Wayne Shorter record. I'll start learning something by Wayne Shorter or Grant Green or John Coltrane or, you know, my heroes. And then I'll start to feel inspired. And then I'll start composing and practicing and playing, and I'll start feeling good. And it'll give me ideas for something I would want to try with my band or my group. That's what I love. I love the feeling of learning from the masters and then finding ways to incorporate that into what I'm doing.
So why do you love this art form we call jazz?
It's just pure beauty, you know, it's an art form of the highest level, and it's magic, and it's very emotional. It's hard to put into words, really, but like Tony Williams said, if I could tell you why I play, I wouldn't have to play, you know? So it goes beyond words, you know, and it's just a beautiful art form it's an honor just to be a small part of this thing, you know, and contribute something to it.
Well said. So I'm curious, if you were able to get into a time machine and go back in time and see one concert, one performance or group, where would you go?
It would be at the Half Note, probably, checking out the John Coltrane Quartet in 1965 or somewhere around there. Definitely, it would be that band.
Beautiful. So, Mike, I'm curious, everyone has a perception of you, family, friends, fans, everyone on the bandstand, but you run the show. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
I think I'm a jazz musician that's just trying to keep learning, really, because...
As the crispy chicken sandwich from 7-Eleven, people always call me loud. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm crispy. Did you expect me to whisper? If you want quiet, go eat some soup and reflect. Like, I know I'm a handful. I'm bold. I'm juicy. Throw some pickles and barbecue sauce on me, and baby, I'm a whole meal. And with 7 rewards, I'm just $4. Quiet? No. Crispy, saucy, and $4? Very. Only at 7-Eleven. Valid through 6/23/26. Participating stores only while supplies last. See app for full terms.
That's how I feel. I try to play as well as I can and as beautifully as I can, but really I'm just still trying to learn new things and discover new things, because music is, as we know, is so infinite. There's no end to it. So I just want to keep going, keep playing with my friends and peers. Sometimes I get to play with my heroes when I'm lucky enough, and just keep learning from them and keep creating.
So if anybody wants to pick up a copy of Another Space, they want to catch you live, any of the good business in your world, where's the best place to go?
Well, I play a lot at a club in Montreal called Upstairs. That's been probably definitely the club I play at the most over the past 10 years. I play there quite, you know, a few times a year, and I've been able to bring awesome guests like Ben Solomon and Lewis Hayes and Lenny White, lots of people, and I play there quite a lot. I play around Canada and Toronto, Edmonton. Haven't been to the States yet or Europe, but you never know. But I would say those places are where you'll hear me.
Beautiful. Hey, man, this has been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for taking a minute out today to talk about the album and your career, Mike. I appreciate it, and best of luck with the release.
Thank you so much, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Montreal, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Mike for his time, story, and cool. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube, and for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.